His gospel comes from the 16th chapter of Matthew. From that time on, after Peter confessed that Jesus was the Messiah, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Then Jesus told his disciples, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I have a joke. You know, you heard about that we're going on a sabbatical next summer, and one of the deals is, I read about, that this current Pope, you can, on Wednesdays, he does audiences with people, and it's with anybody. You just need a ticket. Now, I don't know how you get the ticket, but it's not like, I mean, it's like a random thing, so I'm excited about that. That'd be cool to have a picture with the Pope. That'd be cool. So the Pope arrives in heaven, where St. Peter awaits him. St. Peter asks who he is. The Pope says, "I'm the Pope." St. Peter, "Who? There's no such name in my book." "I'm the representative of God on earth." St. Peter, "Does God have a representative? He didn't tell me." The Pope, "But I'm the leader of the Catholic Church." "The Catholic Church? Never heard of it. Wait, I'll check with my boss." St. Peter walks away through heaven's gate to talk with God. St. Peter asks God, "There's a dude standing outside who claims he's your representative on earth." God says, "I don't have a representative on earth. Not that I know of. Wait, I'll ask Jesus." "Jesus?" "Yes, Father, what's up?" God and St. Peter explain the situation. Jesus says, "Wait, I'll go look outside and have a little chat with that fellow." 10 minutes pass, and Jesus re-enters the room laughing out loud. After a few minutes, St. Peter asks Jesus why he's laughing. Jesus says, "Remember that fishing club I started 2,000 years ago? It still exists." Well. So there's a lot of good, chewy stuff to look at in this particular text here, and I just want to focus on a couple of the phrases. You know, last time I preached, I talked about Peter and that we were Peter, and in the previous text that we just heard, he was the rock where the church was going to be built on, and now he's this stumbling block, a rock that you fall upon. So you've got Peter, you know, doing his Peter thing, and his mouth or his feet are bigger than his mouth. Or, I mean, he puts his feet in his mouth a lot, and this is one of those moments, it seems. And the first phrase I'd like you to think about is in that verse 23. "For you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." I think that's a key phrase for this particular passage, because all Jesus has talked about, and he's going to talk about it again with this whole suffering servant, and here's what's going to happen, and Peter just can't handle it, is that what it means to love is that you suffer for others, that you give yourself for others. That's love. If you've ever loved before and think about it, I mean, if you've truly and deeply loved someone, a partner, your mother, your father, a child, a grandchild, a pet, when you love somebody, you're giving of yourself. That's the nature of love, I think. Anyway, that's my experience. It's probably yours. And so that's what Jesus is getting at with the divine things. The things that are of God involve love. Now, human things are nation building, are human things. How does that work with God? When a country does a test for an atomic bomb, how does that work with God? Because that's our current moment right now. And I called up just to see, you know, how many atomic tests do you think have happened so far? I mean, this is just on Wikipedia what I found. Take a guess. Someone take a guess. Oh, since forever. Well, since 1945. Yeah. The answer is 2,121 tests. North Korea has done 6. Guess who's the most? USA! 1,032. That's a big number. How do divine things work? How does love work? How does what Jesus was after with love work in this world, in this time? Well, he goes on. He says to his disciples, if you want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. The real translation is, if you want to become my follower, you take up your own cross and you follow me. You do that. That's what you need to do. Take up your cross. And again, take up your cross means love. It's not about this dramatic arc of the story of Matthew about what it means to suffer, die, and be raised, because Jesus took care of that drama. What Jesus is pointing us to is the things that are hard in our daily life, like taking care of each other and loving each other, because it's so easy not to do. And we get so distracted. And especially in our culture, we have so many choices of things to do, sometimes loving is not the first choice. So Jesus is being very specific in talking to us. For those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For me, that's the key verse for this whole passage. For my sake. It's kind of like this. Let's say my mom calls me suddenly. Hey, what's going on? I'm not doing well. Can you come up and be with me because I need to go to the hospital? Okay, I'll be right there. I'm in the middle of service, but Beth can finish it. I'd hang up. No, I mean, you know, this could happen. This is a scenario. We have older parents. Stuff happens with older people. So Beth would come and take it over, and what I would say to you, what I would say is, can you do this for me, Beth? Can you take care of this for me? And of course she would, because I'm going to assume she would after almost 30 years in December 19th. I'm going to assume she's going to take care of it. I could be wrong, but she will, because I know she cares and loves for me and loves my mother, and she'll do it. I think that is the same thing that Jesus is saying when he's saying, take up your cross, and when you save your life, you'll lose it, and when you lose your life, for my sake, you'll find it. It's that thing. It's Jesus whispering to us, can you do that for me? 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 That's the voice. The voice we always hear when Houston happens and complete water destruction and people from all over the country hear Jesus say, can you do that for me? Take your boat down there and save some lives. Because as soon as you hear that, and you live that out, you've lost your life, but you've gained it. That's what love is. That's what Jesus was about. I heard a Luther quote, and it says something like this. I tried to find it. I don't know if it's his quote or not, but I like the quote anyway. We don't need to search for crosses. Crosses will find us. We don't need to search for crosses. Crosses will find us.
And I still don't believe Jesus is saying, and you will die there and come meet me in heaven. I think it's about love. And love is complete self-giving. That's what it's all about. So last night, we were at the prison. And there were 8 of us from our congregation here. Darren was one of them, and so was I. And we heard the same story from a man named Stefan. Stefan was here 35 years ago in this church. And he came to the service randomly. Can you do this for me? He heard in his head. And he came and talked to most of us who were from St. Mark because he had been here 35 years ago. And, you know, churches come all the time. So this is just, we happen to be in the rotation. But I was sitting there too. And I heard him say to me, and he had a little note, this is my mom's name. Here's her phone number. I really think she needs to get back to church, but there's some reasons why, and we didn't have time, of course, because it's a worship service, to talk about it, but can you take this note? Well, in a prison, you can't take stuff when people ask. I mean, I said, I'll remember her name, Vilma Haraldson, and I'll get back to it. Now, that name might be familiar to you if you were a person who was here before 1995, when Dennis Hartsick was the pastor here. But, so, fast forward to this morning. All night, I'm thinking about that and just feeling horrible. I'm a great pastor. This man is trying to help his mother out, and I can't take this piece of paper, and I have a horrible memory. I can't remember anything. I can't remember that phone number. And so I'm sitting in my office at 9:52 this morning, 9:53, right before the service. And the phone rings, which that usually never happens at that time, right before our service. St. Mark, this is Eric. Who was on the phone? Vilma Haraldson. So I talked with her, and she said, when's the service? I said, well, it's in about 5 minutes. But I said, next Sunday we have 2. And then she asked about Bible study, and I took her number, and I'll call her back. But what a connection. What a circle of, can you do this for me? I mean, what little moments like that of love that make a difference in the world, a profound difference, like a son who's just concerned about his mom and can't do a dang thing about it because he's in prison. Except that Jesus said, why don't you go to that church? Why don't you go check that out? And then he sought us out and gave us that message. And that message we carried here. And now you've heard that message. And this person may come back to church or not. I don't know. We'll see after she talks with me. But I probably won't tell her the Pope joke. You know, I'll just say what the thing. She'll get it when she comes here. But that's what it means to take up your cross. That's what it means for my sake. It's that little voice from Jesus that says, you're going to love today. And it may be super hard, or it may be as easy as taking a little piece of paper. Can you do that for me? Can you do that for me? That's what it's all about. Amen.